What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. I am, of course, your host who does the most, Ethan Smith. Hopefully you all had a phenomenal Thanksgiving weekend with your family. A holiday season is in full swing, so hopefully you are having a wonderful start to your holiday season as we are recapping them pretty much the whole year at this point. It's almost December, guys. We've almost made it through another full calendar year, and again, I cannot say I didn't actually get a Thanksgiving episode or a Friday episode out to you guys, but I did want to tell you that I'm very thankful for all of you for listening to this podcast every day as you do. Again, I hope you guys all had a phenomenal Thanksgiving, and I am glad that you were tuning into the Locked On Pirates podcast, wherever you may be tuning in, be it YouTube, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Megaphone, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, you can find the Locked On Pirates podcast and me, of course, on this Locked On Pirates podcast. On today's episode, over the weekend, the Pittsburgh Pirates decided to sign Carlos Santana, a veteran first baseman slash DH, for a number that we haven't seen thrown around in quite a while in Pittsburgh in the offseason outside of the key Brian Hayes extension and the Brian Reynolds buying out the arbitration years. But we haven't seen this kind of money go towards a free agent in quite some time. So we're going to talk about that signing and what impact he will have on the team in 2023. And multiple reports suggest that Kyle Gibson and the Pirates have genuine interest in a possible union of sorts for Kyle Gibson to become a Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well as recapping the episode with Today in Baseball. So with that said, guys, again, thank you so much for always tuning into the Locked On Pirates podcast, wherever you can find your podcast. Thank you so much. Again, my name is Ethan Smith. Follow me on Twitter at @MVP_Ethan or at Locked On Pirates. And with that said, let's get into today's episode, everybody.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome back to that Pirates podcast, everybody. I am, of course, your host who does the most, Ethan Smith, as mentioned earlier, and we're going to get right into it today. The Pirates have had somewhat of a busy offseason so far, something that a lot of teams have not been able to say, as the offseason for Major League Baseball, as usual, does not usually pick up until around December, January, and February. So we'll see what big things transpire for the rest of the offseason for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but let's talk about what they've done so far. We're going to recap that a little bit right now. They started it off with the first move, pretty much, of the 2022 offseason, 2022-2023 offseason, in all of baseball, pretty much, by getting G-Man Choi. That kind of started the Tampa Bay Rays fire sale that they've had going on, cutting payroll and pushing things down after being swept by the Cleveland Guardians in the AL wildcard series. The first time, of course, the wildcard series was not one game and it was three. Shout out to all my Pirates fans who were here 2013 through 2015, because we all hate it. We all wish that that was us, because I guarantee you we probably would have won two out of those three instead of just one. So they follow it up with, after that, with a Kevin Newman trade for Dowry Moretta. Of course, check out my episode from last week with the guys over at Locked On Reds, Jeff Carr, Stephen Offenbaker. We talk about that a little bit. That was a very fun episode where we talked about Dowry Moretta and the Kevin Newman trade. They then traded Hoy Park to Boston for a young prospect. They also picked up Lewin Diaz off of waivers from the Miami Marlins. I found that very interesting. And then, of course, the recap and the final move that they've made so far, picking up 36-year-old veteran first baseman slash DH Carlos Santana. Obviously, the one thing that most people have heard, and that I'm going to relay that information to you now, is that Santana will just be a guy here until the deadline. Sure, that's fine. But the Pirates definitely put an emphasis on something that they said they were going to do at the beginning of this offseason, which was shore up the first base position. The first base position, as many of you know, if you listen to this podcast or even watched a sliver of Pirates baseball this year, the first base position was a mess. There is no other way to put it. The first base position was absolutely terrible for this team. It was manned by Yoshi Tsutsugo for quite some time. You got some Michael Chavis in there, course, Michael Chavis was a fan favorite because of his energy, because of the way he carried himself. He just still wasn't getting it done. And then you also have some other names and suspects that filled in at that position when there were injuries. It was overall just not good. So now this offseason, the Pirates have already signed three first basemen. G-Man Choi, very good against righties. Carlos Santana, very good against lefties. Lewin Diaz, very good defensively. G-Man Choi, also very good defensively. So the Pirates put an emphasis on shoring up this position. They have done that. And the other thing they've done, especially with the Santana signing, is even if Santana's only here until July, which is a real possibility, by the way, he's 36 years old. That doesn't fit the bill of what the Pirates are doing right now. But it's a move that's very good. Because I think Santana and Choi, for that matter, two guys who were heavily shifted last year, I believe G-Man Choi was actually the most shifted player in baseball last year, are going to benefit from the fact that the shift is now changing and not really a thing anymore. And looking at it under a microscope, I'm going to pull up Carlos Santana's stats here. You look at a guy who's never batted over 300, but there's some really, really good seasons in here. Of course, last year, he was started the season with Kansas City, had a pretty decent 2021 in Kansas City, 19 homers, 69 RBIs, traded to Seattle as part of their playoff push where they get their first playoff series win in quite some time, their first playoff appearance in quite some time. Former Cleveland Guardian, Philadelphia Philly, returns to Cleveland, and that season in 2019 is the one that I keep looking back on. Now, of course, Santana, again, 36 years old. You can't expect too much out of him. If you're looking at this from 2010 to 2022, I think the Santana that you could expect as a ceiling for the Pirates to say, now this is with the assumption that he would be here from day one to the end of the year, which I don't think will happen. I would look at the ceiling as the 2015 year, 231, 357, 395 slugging with a 752 OPS, 19 home runs, 65 RBIs, 108 walks. That's something I think Santana could do at his age. The floor, however, probably more of a 2020 truncated year, even though he still had a pretty solid year in terms of the home run number. But I also think even you look at the bottom graphic, part of this graphic here, 2022, 202, 316, 376, 692. To the naked eye, that is terrible. Batting average-wise, it is. OPS-wise, it is. But you're also looking at a guy who hit 19 home runs, 60 RBIs, and had 71 walks. 71 walks, mind you, was the second least amount of walks he's ever had in a season outside of 2010, where he didn't play the whole year. And 2020, where there wasn't 162 games. The next number before that, 86. He has had four seasons where he has walked more than 100 times. That is something the Pirates desperately need. And I think PNC Park is also a very, very good ballpark for Carlos Santana. Switch hitter, by the way. You guys know I love my switch hitters. The ceiling here is that the Pirates overperform, and Carlos Santana is an integral part to growing some of the youth here. Of course, first base youth, if we're going to get into that, you got Matt Gorski, Malcolm Nunez, Mason Martin, guys that like Andy Rodriguez possibly. But what this move did, and that I love so much about this move, it did not pressure the Pirates into bringing up these guys too quickly. Now, we know they love to manipulate service time, but also, say when Malcolm Nunez is ready, he'll be platooning probably with one of G-Man Choi or Carlos Santana when all is said and done. The more likely option is Choi. But you're not asking him to be the guy right away. This move signified that the Pirates are getting into the parts of the rebuild where this isn't going to feel like a rebuild anymore. They're getting the pieces in place. Now, I caution everybody, do not expect Carlos Santana to be like absolutely ridiculously good. Expect him to have suitors at the deadline if he's playing any kind of well, like Vogelbach did, and expect the Pirates to make that move. But maybe they overperform. maybe Santana is the guy who is the veteran presence in that clubhouse alongside Brian Reynolds. Maybe some of the pieces start coming together quicker than we think. That's the most optimistic option. The most pessimistic option is Santana doesn't play well. The suitors aren't lined up. And $6.7 million starts looking dumb. But I think the best option here that can come of this is Santana plays very well and is either has the Pirates contending for a wild card spot or he gets traded for some decent prospect capital. The worst case, he doesn't play that well. You still trade him for some decent prospect capital. And then you bring up Malcolm Nunez, Andy Rodriguez, or Matt Gorski to play first base alongside G-Man Choi. Those are those two options. Overall, though, love the move. Power hitting switch hitter sure helps you for sure shore up the first base spot. I think that's very clear for the Pittsburgh Pirates now that the first base position is shored up for them, at least on paper, in 2023. Because Lewin Diaz isn't a great player, mind you, at all. But if he's your third option at first base, that's not terrible. That is not bad at all. I want to know your guys' thoughts on the move. I think it was really good. I think it's something the Pirates needed to do, and it's a step in the right direction for this team to be contending again. Even though, again, people get mad if he gets moved in July, but he's 36 years old. Let's see what he can do while he's here. Let's enjoy him while he's here. Maybe he does some things we don't expect for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Before we get into the Pittsburgh Pirates having genuine interest in a player and a pitcher who pitched in the state of Pennsylvania and also helped his team get to the World Series in some ways, I'm going to tell you guys about Bet Online. Of course, you're listening to this on Monday, November 28th, so if you have a very, very interesting hunch about the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight, make sure you go do it at betonline.ag or .net, whatever it pops up for on your browser. BetOnline, of course, is the number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer to hockey and esports. They've got it all at betonline.net. They're always the fastest and the easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. And again, the Steelers and the Colts play at 8:15 tonight. The Indianapolis Colts are -2.5-point favorites with the over-under set at 39.5. 53% of BetOnline users are betting Indy -2.5. +118 money line for the Pittsburgh Steelers, -140 for Indianapolis. So if you're betting 100, you're winning 118 if you're betting on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we'll see how it all goes. But the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts, in terms of the spread, very close together. So have fun with that at BetOnline, because BetOnline is where the game starts. All righty. So also today, a little tidbit of information that popped up for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Before that, though, if you want some national news on everything going on in the world of sports, you got the World Cup going on, the NFL, the NBA, you know, all that fun stuff. Go check out Lost. Locked On Sports Today, hosted by Peter Bukowski. Beautiful podcast. Get your day started with 20 minutes of all the news you need all day. It's very nice. I do it every morning when I get into work. I always turn it on. But the Pittsburgh Pirates reportedly, not for sure, but reportedly, have genuine interest in Kyle Gibson. A name that has been sprinkled in there in some of these free agency predictions for the Pittsburgh Pirates and who they could sign in free agency to help shore up this pitching staff. Of course, you guys know I'm on the Sean Manaea train. But I also don't think the genuine interest in Kyle Gibson stops the Pirates from also pursuing Sean Manaea. Take a look at Gibson. I already have the graphic on the screen here on YouTube. You can always come to YouTube at Locked On Pirates to find these graphics that I reference. Career 4.52 ERA guy. Now, Texas Rangers, Locked On Rangers host, Bryce Patterick did say he loves Kyle Gibson and thinks Gibson would be a phenomenal fit for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Of course, Gibson's best days are behind him. Had a great 2018 in Minnesota. Had a good 2015 in Minnesota. Could say he had a good 2014 as well. Pretty good 2021 season as well. When he got traded from the Texas Rangers to the Philadelphia Phillies. And the ERA, not that great. But he was a pretty important piece for that Phillies team to get to the World Series this year on the back end of Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, and Noah Syndergaard. And I think that's what he would still even be in Pittsburgh. We wouldn't be asking him to be the first or second starter in the rotation. He would be a fourth or fifth option. Now, the genuine interest I do find interesting. I don't know what the money number would be in terms of getting Kyle Gibson. I would also assume at his age, it would probably be a one-year deal. I also don't know his age, so we're going to look that up. You know, we record these live in live time. He is 35, so I would expect a one-year deal there at a decent price point, which, again, I think is fine. Because then, if you're talking about Sean Manaea still, or another starter, you're talking about a rotation that features Roansy Contreras, Mitch Keller, JT Brubaker, Kyle Gibson. We'll throw Sean Manaea's name in there. And then that also still leaves you the option of Luis Ortiz. You can move Johan Oviedo to the bullpen, which is where I think he'll ultimately end up in Pittsburgh. It's a pretty decent pitching staff. I'm not going to say good pitching staff, but it's a pretty decent pitching staff, if you ask me. And Ben Cherington, on the record, said that he was going to bring in starters in pitching this year. As I've stated on this podcast this offseason, that has been the biggest issue the Pirates have had over the last couple years, is that the starting pitching just couldn't stay healthy. It couldn't stay out there. Guys were getting tired by June or July. The bullpen would start in the top 10 in the league, and then it would falter into one of the worst in all of baseball the last 2 years. Moves like Kyle Gibson are not flattering moves based off of the number. But the Pirates are known for reclamation projects. Tyler Anderson just got $13.5 million a year per annual AAV from the Los Angeles Angels. He was here 2 years ago. Gets traded to Seattle, ends up at the Dodgers. Now he's an Angel. Reclamation project. Jose Quintana, brought in last year, has a phenomenal year. Gets traded to St. Louis. Starts a playoff game for the Cardinals. He's going to probably garner some money this year. And I've also flirted with the idea that the Pirates bring him back. I would actually love that. Because if they could get Gibson, Manaea, and Quintana. Keller, Contreras, Quintana, Manaea, and Gibson? Sure. Sure. Michael Burrows supplements it in later in the year. Quinn Priester. I could get behind that. I wonder if you guys could get behind that. I could get behind that. But the genuine interest is there. This was from Rob Bernthal, by the way, of The Athletic, about the possibility of the Pirates going after this guy. But there have been other guys that the Pirates are potentially interested in. We'll see. I don't know. The offseason's still very young, and the Pirates have already done a lot. In other news, of course, over the weekend, O'Neal Cruz was just he was just chilling in the Winter League game, just doing his thing, hitting home runs effortlessly. There are possibilities around free agency still for the Pittsburgh Pirates of interesting stuff that can happen, but I would not mind Kyle Gibson. I want your guys' thoughts on that. I think Kyle Gibson, again, older guy, a guy that potentially makes some noise, another possible trade at the deadline candidate with his age, and a good supplement and innings eater until some of the younger guys are ready. I have no issue with getting Kyle Gibson. Another thing you shouldn't have an issue with is securing your home. And you can do that with SimpliSafe. Did you know that over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries and package theft spike nationally? That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report, a third year in a row. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real so you can get priority police response. Simply Safe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door. HD security cameras for inside and out with smarter ways to detect motion that alert you only when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. 24/7 professional monitoring service costs less than $1 a day, less than half the price of ADT's traditional professional install system. With the top-rated SimpliSafe app, stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere. You can arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, or even adjust system settings whenever you please. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system I recommend. Get 50% off any new SimpliSafe system at simplisafe.com/lockedonMLB. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplisafe.com/lockedonMLB. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. So today in baseball, a new segment we're going to have during the offseason just to talk about the ins and outs of everything going on in the world. Of course, the big news today was Jose Abreu signed with the Houston Astros. Kyle Gibson, of course, having interest in the Pittsburgh Pirates. We talked about that. That got announced today. Still, none of the big guys have really done much, like the DeGroms of the world. There was a minor report that Justin Verlander could be meeting with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, of course, Jose Abreu signs a 3-year contract with the Astros, so the reigning World Series champions get better. Other things to talk about, Miguel Cabrera confirmed that 2023 will indeed be his last season as a Major League Baseball player. Of course, the Detroit Tigers legend is a surefire Hall of Famer, got his 3,000th hit this past year, so he will definitely garner a farewell tour. The Mariners are also among teams interested in signing Michael Conforto, another big free agent that's been going to be getting a lot of attention. Of course, there was an owners meeting this upcoming Thursday in New York. O'Neill Cruz over the weekend hit a home run in a winter league game, so that's something that's going on. Lots of stuff for a semi-quiet offseason has been going on for this team. So I don't know how you guys feel, but things are definitely, I think, on the come up for this Pirates team after the Santana deal. Things are only going to continue to get better, and I don't think the Pirates offseason is done from any stretch of the imagination. But guys, with that said, thank you so much for tuning into the Locked On Pirates podcast today here on Monday, November 28th. Hopefully you're listening to me before the Steelers kick off against the Indianapolis Colts, so make sure you go check out Locked On Steelers with Christopher Carter, if you would be so kind. Also, go check out Hunter Hodes of Locked On Penguins and Nick Farbaugh of Locked On Pitt for all of your Pittsburgh news, be it Penguins, Steelers, Panthers, or Pirates. Thank you guys so much. Again, follow me on Twitter at MVP_Ethan or at Locked On Pirates, and you guys have a phenomenal rest of your Monday.